So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
On September 6th, Governor Tony Evers named Melissa Hughes, an executive with Organic Valley, as CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So a few weeks on the job, I want to welcome you to the Newsmakers interview.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You were with Organic Valley. Give us a short bio. You had a good job. Tell us about that organization. That co-op?
So I had probably one of the most amazing jobs in the country. I always say one of the best lawyering jobs. So I was general counsel and chief mission officer for Organic Valley. I joined them in 2003, so I was with them for 16 years, and first as general counsel, and then my role expanded because of my involvement with the industry and with government relations to chief mission officer, because the mission of OV is to save family farms today and for future generations. And so I got to talk about our mission and the good work that we do.
Well,
and I keep saying we, even though it's my past job.
It's your past job. During your 16 years, correct? Organic Valley grew from what to what? Number of products, the volume?
Yeah. When I joined, we had about 500 farmers, and today we're over 2,000 farmers. So we're a farmer-owned co-op. So our farmers are our owners, and we have them 36 states, Australia, and Great Britain.
Australia?
Yeah.
What do we get from Australia?
We import grass-fed organic beef. There's an amazing co-op that is growing, raising cattle on the you know, vast ranches in Australia organically, and so we work with them.
You had a great job, and then what happened? Did you raise your hand and say, hey, I'd like to be CEO of WEDC?
We're fond of saying the governor called. And so, I was approached to see if I'd be interested, and I was so excited to go through the process and tell folks about the good work that Organic Valley is doing. Mm-hmm. And the process just kind of kept going, and then literally the governor was kind enough to call and offer me the position, and, you know, I couldn't say no at that point.
Well, what was the first question you asked about WEDC when the governor's on the line, or one of his aides?
One of the first questions I asked. Well, to be honest,
the shorthand is that it's the state jobs agency.
Yeah,
is that a fair shorthand, journalistic shorthand?
I think it's a fair shorthand, because the metric that we often use to measure success is whether or not jobs are being created through the work that WEDC is doing. Mm-hmm. I think as we go forward, one of the challenges is to say, is that the right metric? Is there a deeper, more meaningful metric that we should be looking at? Because, granting funds or using tax credits and saying, oh, it's just one number, I think it's a lot more complicated than that. And that's what I've been learning in the last 30 days, how complicated it is. But I think there's a real opportunity to really meaningfully understand what success looks like.
The agency administers $3.1 billion a year in tax credits, grants, loans, and bonds. So you've had to come up to speed in all these areas.
It's a big job. It's a big job, Steve.
First impressions, the first month on the job?
My first impressions are that there is an amazing network of economic development already happening in the state. So I spent the first 2 weeks on the road going and visiting all sorts of projects. I'm kind of a tactical person, and I needed to see it in my own eyes rather than just read about it in a operations plan or something like that. So what I saw was a lot of opportunities where businesses are partnering with the public sector, so counties working with businesses, working with colleges, all in concert to try to bring a project forward. It was really an amazing network.
Did you know that synergy was out there?
Well, at Organic Valley, we were super involved in the community, and I was very proud of that. And to see it happening around the state is really amazing, because it's happening a lot more than I thought.
In its story the day you were appointed, the State Journal said that it could find no political donations by you to any Wisconsin politicians or any politicians. You were not politically involved at all?
Our work at Organic Valley always was really, I was very politically involved, but on a federal level.
Oh, okay.
So because Organic Valley is reliant on the USDA National Organic Program, we were really focused on making sure that the federal world was listening to us and needed to make sure that the organic standard stayed very strong because that's what consumers expected. But really, that didn't even mean that I was involved that much in political contributions and things like that. I was busy raising my family and doing my job, and that's what I've been really focused
on. Well, as you transition into WEDC, is it an advantage or disadvantage that you weren't politically involved at a state level? No donations and no real.
I think it's an
activism.
Advantage because when I am having conversations, I've been visiting lots of senators and lots of folks around the state. I don't care really whether somebody is Republican or Democrat, and I hope they don't care whether I'm Republican or Democrat. What I want is good ideas that are going to advance the state.
In your role at Organic Valley, I just have this question. Was the Farm Bill bad or good for that organization and farmers or
so it,
organic
it's,
farmers?
It's kind of two sides. On the one side, the organic farmers that I worked with that are our owners don't really participate in a lot of the farm programs. Oh. The organic marketplace is very separate than conventional agriculture, and that's one of its strengths. And probably also one of the cons is that it really didn't participate in things like subsidies or farm programs. But on the other hand, as I mentioned, the USDA National Organic Program is very important. So from a Farm Bill perspective, when it involved that, the Farm Bill was really important.
And then the other side of that is a follow-up question. Has the organic farming been hurt by the tariffs? Or?
I think insofar as the tariffs have created a glut in the marketplace and oversupply, that's going to hurt all of agriculture. When there's too much supply versus demand, that makes it hard for everybody.
Okay. The governor campaign in terms of economic development on taking some of the emphasis away from a statewide organization and empowering regional and local officials. Now, you alluded to that earlier.
Yeah.
Does this amount to reorganizing your agency and taking staffers from Madison and putting them out in the regions? Or how do you empower, going along with what the governor campaigned on, local and regional officials?
I think what the governor is getting at is that the best decisions about what's going to help a community are made within the community. And we have an amazing, as I kind of said, we have an amazing network of economic development all around the state. There's 9 regions for the state. And then within each of those regions, there are county economic developers, there's chambers of commerce, there's city economic developers. So there's a whole network. And the key is having a really strong network. And WEDC has really facilitated that in the last few years. And that network is, from what I've learned, working really well. As I traveled around the state, resoundingly, what I heard was that WEDC has been great to work with and has really opened doors and provided opportunities for communities.
Now, you toured the state with the governor. And
yep.
This was part of you getting to know your job.
Yeah.
and these different parts of it.
Yep.
So that's your big takeaway. There's already this partnership with WEDIC and the local chambers and other economic development officials?
There's already a really good network, and I think the key now is making sure that the tools are available for each part of that network to use, to go up and down the whole value chain of economic development, whether it's at the local level all the way up to the state level. So now looking at the tools, I think, is really the next step for my job.
Tools?
Tools.
What tools?
All the different tools that WEDC and the state have at its fingertips. So there's grant programs and there's loan programs and there's tax credits, the whole gambit from a smaller Main Street program all the way up to the tax incentives that most folks are aware of. But those smaller tools are really important because they're going to be the catalyst for small businesses or for rural communities to do something. And, one of the things I hope to do is maybe take a little bit of focus off of talking about the big picture, the big achievements, mm-hmm. and look at these small things so that folks know, oh, I could access that program or I could do that. That would work for me. The Haribos or the Komatsus, those aren't going to work for everybody, but I want to make sure that everybody has access to the full range of tools that we can deploy.
Has the agency in the past, do you think, emphasized urban areas, southeast Wisconsin, at the expense of or shortchanging rural areas, Melissa?
Well, I think this is, we've heard a lot about the big achievements, the Foxconn or whatever it is, but there's hundreds of projects all around the state. And whether they're rural or urban, I don't know that anybody's been shortchanged. It's just let's look and see what we can do going forward.
Do we need a new major campaign or emphasis on rural areas?
I think we need to take a hard look at rural areas present a particular nut that's hard to crack. Mm-hmm. If you look at an urban area, if you look at an economic development project, the key is having a group of people that are coming together that are championing a project. And so naturally, in rural areas, you're going to have less groups of people. And getting those folks to come together and come forward with an idea and really have momentum to carry it through, that's the key. And so I think we have to look and see, how do we facilitate those groups of people to feel empowered to move something forward and to be encouraged and to have the confidence to move something forward?
Are those leaders in rural areas out there with a vision for the future? Did you meet them when you toured the state with the governor?
I saw sparks in every place that I visited. Some had really already burnished into fires, and some were still sparks that it's like, come on, little fire, let's go. We can get this rolling. But I saw something in just about every community that I visited. Now, I want to go back, and you know, that was a quick trip, and I want to go back and focus and really understand what are the keys to getting that little spark to turn into a fire.
You must have heard, as you toured the state, the importance of broadband and the internet.
Yeah.
Was that a common concern about people in rural areas with a vision for the future, with an idea, the spark for the future?
Let me tell you the three things that I saw and heard throughout the state, whether I was in an urban area or a rural area: broadband, housing, and workforce. Those were the three themes that I saw and heard again and again.
Did that surprise you, those three?
That it was so focused on those three was a little surprising.
Broadband,
interesting.
What?
And housing.
And workforce.
Yeah.
There's a major conference coming up on November 25th. The governor's going to speak at it at Workforce. Where are your thoughts on how we can prepare the workforce for the future?
Well, again, I might be a broken record, but this network of strength that I saw focused on the business saying we need the workers, mm-hmm. and this is the type of worker we need. The public doing what it can to provide strong communities where folks want to be, with a quality of life that where they want to be. And then the colleges, whether it's tech colleges or the UW system, providing the training for those workers to be able to, you know, walk into a job right now or 5 years from now. Also on the education side of things, I visited a Fab Lab in Phillips, which is a program of WEDC, and amazing work that can happen in the high school to teach kids how to use 3D printers and how to use different programming, and then at the same time walk into another room and learn how to weld and use these amazing big machines to cut metal and do things like that. So that when they walk into a manufacturing facility, they're right at home. They understand, like, okay, I got this, no problem.
We've talked about broadband, we've talked about workforce. What did you hear about housing issues, please?
I think that the housing is particularly hard in rural areas because you need a developer, you need someone to put that first shovel into the dirt and be willing to build something and know that they're going to get a return on their investment. And that takes, you know, it's a chicken and egg problem. You want the developer to come in so that there's housing, so you have places for workers, so you can have businesses, but the developer needs to know that they're going to be able to have a return on their investment.
If Wisconsin and if WEDC doesn't do a good job in these three areas, in these three subjects, broadband, housing, and workforce, is that going to put rural Wisconsin at a disadvantage in terms of economic development over the next 5-10 years?
I think it's going to hinder growth. And growth is really important for developing wealth and developing the ability to invest back in your community. So I think it will, you know, it's going to keep the growth slower than what we should be able to accomplish with the strength that is Wisconsin.
How much emphasis do you think WEDC should put on the areas like Kenosha and Racine? You mentioned some of these. Amazon is there, Haribo is there, Foxconn is building. I'll ask you about that later. But does the agency then say, Southeast Wisconsin, you're doing pretty well, we have to focus on some of these other regions of Wisconsin?
I think there's big questions, Steve, that we need to have a group conversation about. And whether those questions are, do we focus on big things? Do we focus on small things? Do we focus on new business into Wisconsin? Do we focus on the strengths that we have? It's not for me to decide. What I want to do, and one of the things that I learned to do when I worked for a cooperative of 2,000 farmers, mm-hmm. is to have the conversations with, you know, East Coast farmers and West Coast farmers, or big farmers and small farmers, dairy and egg. Like, you know, there's opportunities to find what's the common ground. I was thinking, you know, the Foxconn project is a great opportunity. How could you ever ask for a better conversation about economic development? Because now you have people thinking like, oh, do we want that kind of development or do we want that kind of development? You need to have that kind of a catalyst and a challenge to have that conversation. And it's exciting to hear people give me their opinions. Some folks express such excitement about the advanced technology that the Foxconn project is opening folks' eyes to. Mm-hmm. And some folks are saying, okay, let's make sure that the state's investment is worth it. So all these conversations wouldn't have happened but for Foxconn. So it's a great opportunity to kind of bring these things forward and to get a real consensus about what we think success is for WEDC, for Wisconsin, and for economic development in the state.
Foxconn is building this giant complex in Mount Pleasant. Have you had a chance to visit it yet?
That is the place I have not been yet.
Okay, well, don't feel alone because Wisconsin I has asked to get a tour of it, and we haven't either.
Okay.
So do you have plans to go to the
complex? I don't have concrete plans. I'm looking forward to meeting the leadership of Foxconn in the coming weeks and, you know, getting down to the area and seeing the project. I hear it's really a massive project, and so I'm excited to put my eyes on it.
There are reports that both from the governors and Foxconn that they would like to seek at some future amendments of the original contract. The original contract, of course, said you would be eligible for up to $4 billion in tax breaks if you invest $10 billion and create 13,000 jobs. Now, you and I understand that they don't get any money if they don't do these things.
That's right.
But do you have any indication of how they might want to amend the original agreement?
Like I mentioned, I'm going to be meeting with the Foxconn leadership, and I really feel that it would be disingenuous to express anything I, you know, think I know or might know until I have a chance to sit down with them and meet them at face to face, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay. You think potential for the WEDC board to vote on potential 6 months, 9 months? 2020?
Yeah, I'm not able to say. Really, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. So you're still going with the original agreement up to $4 billion in tax breaks until you hear something different?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what questions, when you haven't yet met Foxconn executives mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, what are your questions as head of WEDC for them?
You know, I think that my questions are they satisfied with the state's performance? The state's been doing a tremendous amount of work. The local regions have been doing a tremendous amount of work. Are they satisfied with what the state has brought to the table and making sure that we're doing what we need to do under the agreement to facilitate their business moving forward?
Okay.
Foxconn being successful is really important. And the state being successful, really important. So how do we make sure that we find that path towards success for both?
Do you have enough information yet to know if Foxconn will be making something 1 year from now when you and I sit down again?
I don't have enough information to know that right now.
Okay. There was a report recently, last 2 weeks, that Wisconsin lost 5,000 manufacturing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a result of the Trump administration tariffs? Is this a temporary blip? Because the context here is Wisconsin is either number one or number two with Indiana in terms of manufacturing jobs. They're high paying, but there's also some very experienced manufacturing workers that are retiring. 5,000 jobs lost, temporary blip, or do you have real concerns?
So let me put it in a little bit of context, because this is fun, Steve. This is the things I'm learning about Wisconsin right now. So Wisconsin has 9,400 manufacturing companies in it, which translates to 475,000 jobs. So putting, you know, 5,000 jobs, and we're not 100% sure about that number. It's a monthly number. You know, that kind of puts that in context.
Mm-hmm. And 5,000 on a base of 475,000.
Right,
thank
right.
you.
And I think what I've been looking at, first of all, is learning about the amazing manufacturing industry in Wisconsin. We make things like crazy. I thought we mostly grew things, but we actually build a lot also. And so getting the chance to go and visit, I visited three or four different manufacturing plants while I was on my trip. One of them in particular, Metal Era in Waukesha. Amazing business, growing like crazy. They build roofing components fabricated out of metal. And so they have robotics. They have an amazing program for their employees, for training their employees, really doing top-notch stuff. I walked in there and I was like, wow, I would be so happy if my son worked here. This is just like, it's a, just felt like a great facility. And a couple other manufacturing plants that I went to visit just like that. And so I think, you know, understanding what our manufacturing is today and where it needs to go into the future is going to be critical for making sure that we continue the growth. The challenge is understanding, you know, is that 5,000 cutting back, or is it a trend? What's happening there? So I don't want to attribute it to some particular policy. I want to understand the whole trend. And we mentioned before the workforce piece. That's really critical, because if you can't find the humans to help you do your job, then you have to figure out what to do in order to grow. And so I see right now the manufacturing in Wisconsin is grappling with that issue. You know, you have presidents of companies who are packing boxes because they're short on people. And when they're packing boxes, they're not thinking about how to grow their business. They're not having conversations with customers and things like that. So making sure that the presidents of these companies don't have to worry about who's doing the jobs, that they have a good workforce, then they can think about how to grow and where to grow.
Those manufacturing sites that you mentioned, all of them probably had now hiring signs up, correct?
Yes.
Should we change the state motto from forward to now hiring?
I mean, I have heard that's the favorite sign in most towns these days. And now when I see for hire,
I think
that, yeah.
Well, that's one of the defining issues as we go forward for economic development, right? In addition to broadband, especially in the rural areas, housing, and our workforce. So are you going to be part of this active dialogue? You mentioned the UW system and the tech colleges. Is that part of your job description?
I think that my job is to bring people together. The other folks I'm really going to be talking to are my fellow secretaries in the other agencies. And really, as the governor has demanded and talked about, let's connect the dots between all the agencies. So if you think about housing, that's my friend Joaquin at WEDA. And Caleb is on workforce. And we need to be talking to the Public Service Commission about broadband and making sure that we're all figuring out how to work together, because there's really no sense in deploying dollars for certain projects if it's going to fall short because it doesn't. There's no housing for the workers, or the broadband isn't there in order to make a smart facility work smart.
Do you see your job as a quasi-ambassador? Are you willing to go on the road to some state and talk to a company and say, you should come to Wisconsin? If so, what's your elevator speech? You ought to come to Wisconsin because, go ahead, it's your elevator speech.
It's the hardest working group of people I've ever met in my life. Done. That's it. I mean, working with the farmers, working with the employees at Organic Valley, working with the employees at WEDC, seeing what's happening around the state, there are no harder workers than Wisconsin. And with hard work means a work ethic, it means strong families, it means strong communities. So, you know, that to me, that speaks volumes.
Now, you're the fourth CEO of WEDC. Your predecessor, Mr. Hogan, I'm going to put it bluntly, I kind of inherited, not a mess, but a controversial agency. There was critical audits, and Mr. Hogan addressed that, and he changed a lot of procedures. Has the controversial history of WEDC, do you think, is it still behind you? You still wake up worrying about potentially critical audits? How is the organization changed, do you think, in response to some of these past controversies, long before you got there?
I have a huge thanks to give to Secretary Hogan. He developed a foundation of processes and workflows that assure that there is a path for each grant and each incentive that's given that is very well documented and very thoughtful. I frankly don't have that skill set, so I'm so glad that he set that foundation. And what I'm fond of saying is the car engine is running really, really well. And let's stop standing around and staring at the car engine, because we know it's running really well, and let's as a group decide where we're going to drive the car. And as a group, I mean the legislator, the governor, the taxpayers, the economic development folks all around the state. Let's have a good conversation about where we want to take this car that is the great state of Wisconsin.
This traditional economic economic development debate, which is done nationally, how much help should how much tax dollars should be put in as an incentive to a company to either expand here or relocate here? What's your philosophy on that?
My philosophy is that a company that wants to stay in Wisconsin or relocate to Wisconsin needs to be a company that's willing to be a strong partner of Wisconsin. So we mentioned, you asked me before we started about the Molson Coors.
Yes.
Molson Coors is an example of an iconic Wisconsin company.
They're bringing their headquarters from Denver. Molson Coors, Miller Coors, Molson, excuse me. I'll get it right eventually.
Molson Coors.
Yeah, thank you very much. They're bringing their headquarters to Milwaukee
with,
I think, a few hundred high-paying jobs. Is that contingent on WEDIC tax incentives?
So we talked about how the process for working with a company goes. It's all confidential, and there's two reasons for that. One is to protect the competitive edge of the company, and one is to protect the competitive edge of Wisconsin. If you could imagine, it's like any other business negotiation. So I'm not going to mention that, but the reason I brought up Molson Coors is because those are the kind of companies that we want to have in Wisconsin. They're long-term Wisconsin friends and partners, and if someone wants to come to Wisconsin and relocate to Wisconsin, we hope that they're going to be here for the long term. One of the things that I learned at the co-op was, you know, if you have a 50-year outlook, then that really puts a whole different vision on what you're trying to do. We knew 50 years from now we're going to be selling organic dairy products. Mm-hmm. 50 years from now we're going to be selling Wisconsin, and we're going to be in Wisconsin with our partners that hopefully are starting today, whether it's an entrepreneur or an innovator or a long-term company that's deciding to keep its folks here.
Wow, you've become quite an ambassador in only a month on the job, right?
Well, I've been in Wisconsin for a long time.
I understand.
And, you know, I raised my kids here, and it's an amazing place, and we're so lucky to have it, and I'm looking at it with all new eyes now. And even though I've been here for 16 years, now I drive down the highway, and I'm like, what's that building? What's happening there?
Well, you just said, okay, let's look 50 years out. I'm going to ask you to look shorter, over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be a successful CEO if, over the next 3 years, finish that sentence.
I'll be a successful CEO if, when a company is considering a project or an expansion or doing something or needs something, they say, we want the state at the table helping us. We want WEDC to come here and talk to us about our vision for our business and how WEDC can be a part of it. If I have businesses thinking about how they can partner with us right away, before they ever start to put pen to paper about a project, I've succeeded, because I think the state being at the table can help expand a vision of what a project can be like, and that's only going to help Wisconsin.
Are you the closer of those deals?
I hope so. I'm a tough one. I'll get it done.
Melissa Hughes, CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Please come back.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.